GlobalCast MD, along with Cincinnati Children's Hospital, sharing knowledge to improve child health around the globe.
Hello, pediatric surgery family. I'm M. Godi, a research fellow from Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center. Our 11th annual update course in pediatric surgery was held past August. In this video series, we'll recap the sessions and share the main highlights with you. In this video, Drs. Mira Kodagal and Katie Russell are sharing their guidelines and the updates in massive transfusion protocols, or MTPs.
All right, guys, here's our next scenario. So this is an 8-year-old who's got a gunshot wound to the abdomen. He was playing with his 4-year-old brother and he was unintentionally shot.
He is hypotensive, despite already getting a bolus of crystalloid in the field. And he's now gotten 20 milliliters per kilo of blood. Our question is, when should we activate a massive transfusion protocol?
And you've got the cooler in front of you. Now, what product are you gonna give first?
So we would often get to 40 per kilo of blood and then go to a 1-to-1-to-1.
So I don't have great data for this, but I actually start with FFP. I think there is adult data to support that.
Yeah, absolutely. The data on 1-to-1-to-1 resuscitation, I think, is really important. We do have plasma in our original trauma cooler that comes to the bay, and then we get more.
Dr. Kodagal also mentioned that they don't have platelets in their original trauma cooler. So in order to get platelets, they have to activate MTP or order platelets separately.
I don't know the answer of when is the time. I don't know if it's the same everywhere for when you call. I would always do it just because of gestalt. I'd be like, okay, I gave blood, I'm gonna call MTP.
I think that's like the take-home point. So we're gonna show some new studies, but if you're in the trauma bay and you're giving blood, you need to activate it.
It's going blood equals MTP.
Yes.
That's its phrase to remember. If you give blood, call MTP. Is that standard or is that your opinion at your hospital?
This is actually a new paper. There are these blood investigators. They're part of the MATIC trial, looking at whole blood versus component therapy. But they wrote a bunch of papers out of the first iteration of this trial. And after 20 per kilo of blood within an hour, you should activate the MTP.
And what gets destroyed or ruined when you call an MTP and don't use it?
It's resources. So
what about blood?
So usually no, unless you spike the bag, the blood can be returned to the blood.
When do you give something other than packed red blood cells, and what do you give?
Bad trauma coming in, not normal at all. Whole blood would be the best, I think, personally.
So we have not been able to get our blood bank to make whole blood for kids because it needs to be okay. We want to aim for 1-to-1-to-1,
okay,
for sure, and definitely FFP should be what you give after you give blood. Most of the time, an original trauma cooler that comes to the bay in most hospitals does not have platelets. The MTP helps you get platelets, or you can call for platelets.
This paper basically is the definition for an MTP. People have different definitions for what massive transfusion kids actually is, but I think the best one is 40 of any blood product over 24 hours. So do you agree with that?
I would, and I think it's worth clarifying that activating your MTP and your threshold for doing that is different than massive transfusion.
According to this paper, anytime you give kids 40 milliliters per kilo or more blood, you should consider it as a massive transfusion.
When you decide to activate your massive transfusion protocol, which is going to bring you lots of blood, is a different question.
Yeah. Next paper, this is the paper about 1-to-1-to-1, right?
And in this paper, they looked at a balanced resuscitation. The main idea is the more fresh frozen plasma or FFP you give, the lower your mortality is.
The closer you are 1-to-1-to-1 is better, and these guys have shown this in kids. So it's not just adult data at this point.
And I think there's great pediatric data on whole blood. So in the event that you can't, balanced resuscitation is really important because kids bleed whole blood.
And then last paper, so this is, you're in the trauma bay, you are actively transfusing, they've gotten 20 per kilo and they're still not stable. So this is new data. Our protocol is next. We're doing 40 as of now, but I think that it's certainly an area for improvement.
This is a low frequency, high acuity event, and every now and then there'll be a GI bleeding or a bad liver transplant. So sometimes it is just useful to have a second set of hands.
We recently created an MTP team that responds anywhere in the hospital to try to help run these resuscitations. And so all they're in charge of is giving the blood. Primary physicians can take care of dealing with what the underlying medical problem is, and then we just go and give blood.
Who's on your team?
The trauma APP is running the team, and then we bring an ER nurse who knows how to run the Belmont. That's like the core team.
And they go with the blood to the bedside, give the blood, and they say, we gotta get the labs and check back in.
What we showed is that we changed our balanced resuscitations. Our balanced resuscitation used to be 25%. And then after activating this team, we're now up to 85% on our balanced resuscitation.
Do you do pre-hospital transfusion? We recently did a visual abstract about this, and I don't have it available in Chile, but I'm guessing if you do, it could even reduce mortality.
The data definitely supports that. We will have patients who may get blood started in an outside hospital, but our EMS does not.
And Dr. Cottagall shares her experience from a hospital that they partnered with in the Netherlands.
Their trauma program, and they have an incredibly cool system. They have a helicopter-based team. They actually rendezvous in the field, so they ECMO cannulate in the middle of a tulip field, and they will take their team to meet the patient in the ambulance and then transport.
So that they're actually starting their resuscitation in the field with an anesthesiologist and a nursing support.
Blows my mind, they actually cannulate. Like if they need to for ECMO kits, they cannulate in the field, which is incredible.
Can you comment on pre-hospital TXA?
Yeah, we are not routinely doing it, but I think there is evidence to support its use.
I do encourage them for people that are using TXA and MTP to get a ROTEM or a TEG as fast as you can, because there's gonna be a delay a little bit. If you have rapid TEG, it's great, but if it's a ROTEM, it takes a little longer, but as soon as you can directly target your goals for resuscitation, it will highly improve the outcomes in terms of lungs. If the patient ends up intubated, if you guys have access to it, just get it as soon as you can.
In summary, in this video, we focused on the massive transfusion protocol for trauma patients. When a patient remains hypotensive after receiving a significant amount of blood, activating MTP is crucial. Immediate blood transfusion is paramount, followed by FFP, aiming for a balanced 1:1:1 ratio. Guidelines suggest MTP activation after administering 20 milliliters per kilo of blood within an hour. Early pre-hospital transfusion might reduce mortality. Lastly, using tranexamic acid or TXA in MTP, combined with rapid resuscitation goal targeting, is important. Thank you for watching this video.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Stay Current MD YouTube channel. Follow our social media channels and download the Stay Current MD app for tons of content in pediatric surgery. GlobalCast MD, along with Cincinnati Children's Hospital, sharing knowledge to improve child health around the globe.